Hey, Bobby Manning here, and welcome to Dome Theory. We got a special guest today, an awesome interview, so I'm going to keep this intro short. Just want to let you know how this came together. Obviously, we've been talking about the Celtics every night over on Celtics Post Game, the Garden Report, and I had become fascinated by Luke Kornet, their trade deadline addition, the most unsung of them all, and a guy who I think a lot of us thought was just going to get cut in favor of the buyout market. And we talked about Andre Drummond and all these other guys. I didn't know all that much about Kornet at all. I just remember Kendrick Perkins, who we talked to on Locker Room, saying at that time that he had versed Kornet in the G League back when Kornet was with the New York Knicks on a two-way deal. And Perkins said this is probably his last year in the league. Kornet gave him hell. He was raining shots. He was playing physical in the post. This is a 7'1", 7'2 guy who is now a member of the Boston Celtics, has 14 blocks in 12 games, flashed some shooting in a win over Oklahoma City, part of a comeback in that one, and overall has played solid pick-and-roll defense and passed the ball incredibly well. In fact, Brad Stevens has said that his high post action and passing compares favorably to Rob Williams, who is obviously become a standout passer among Big Ben this year. So, is he going to play a ton when they're healthy? Probably not, but great depth guy, solid, reliable player, and I think a guy who's going to continue to have a place in this league, even if it's not with the Celtics. He's a free agent this summer, but I want to know more about him. I didn't know all that much about him. I saw his sister was active on Twitter as an advocate of him, and I remember Anna Horford being the same way for Horford while he was here, and we obviously had her on a variety of podcasts on this network. She ended up even getting a podcast here, the Horford Happy Hour. And who knows, maybe his sister, Luke that is, Nicole Kornet, will be podcasting here one day, because we had an awesome conversation with her here on Dome Theory, got to know the family, their mother, their father, who is a former NBA player, as well as a brother who played basketball as well. We are joined by Nicole Kornet today, former UCLA basketball player, as well as Oklahoma, living now in LA, trying to make it happen with some acting and stunt work and whatever she can find out there in terms of acting work right now in her career. So we're going to talk to her a little bit about that, the family, Luke's transition to Boston, his personality, and his style even, which I was really excited that she got into, because we've talked about that on the Garden Report as well. So just an awesome interview here. We're going to get right into it. Please subscribe to Dome Theory on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and if you're placing bets in the sports world, I know the Celtics are -4.5, continue to be favorites at home. My piece of advice in the weeks ahead, take those points going against Boston on the other side. It's been a brutally inconsistent stretch for this team, especially in this last week, getting worried about the play-in game being a possibility. Also getting worried about Brad Stevens at this point. I've been his biggest advocate, but some of the losses and the way in which the team has responded to him overall over the last couple weeks is just starting to make me worried for the very first time about him. I've obviously strongly stood by him, especially in this pandemic year. I don't think any coach should be fired. I don't think he's going to be fired because of his contract as well as the team's commitment to him and his past success, which has earned him some leeway here. But I wrote for a Celtics blog today, and it'll probably be out by the time you hear this over the weekend, the reasons why I'm worried, because the benefits of Stevens coaching in the past and the things you can rely on his teams to do aren't being done anymore. So BetOnline, if you head over to betonline.ag right now and use the code CLNS50, you're going to get 50% back on your first deposit. That is betonline.ag, CLNS50. They have over-unders, futures, props, even a chance to create your own bets over there. It's a wide variety, and whenever I do betting, I head over to betonline.ag. As I said, Celtics Spurs tonight as we record this. Celtics are -4.5, and we do picks on clnsmedia.com, whether it's myself or Jack Simone, of not only who's going to win each game, but who's going to cover each game. And I've done great this season with the picks. I think I'm about 10 games over 500 in picking the Celtics games. Covering's been a little trickier for me. I'm about 6 games under. But if you want to try your own, you want to try and beat me, you want to try and go against me in some of my picks this year, head on over to betonline.ag and use that code CLNS50. That's CLNS50. Here is Nicole Cornette. And if you want to watch the video version of this, it is live over on the CLNS Media YouTube as well as Celtics All Access and on my channel, Bobby Manning, where we're going to continue to do some game streams, have some conversations, break down some film, and do all the stuff we usually do over there. So I'll see you at the game tonight. Appreciate you listening to this show, and we will see you early next week.
All right. Hey, everybody. As promised, Nicole Cornette is here live from Los Angeles. I see the sun shining down on her.
Oh, yeah.
You can see me. I'm in the shadows here of Boston with the rain driving in my face and still waiting for spring to actually officially arrive. Nicole Cornette, older sister of Luke Cornette, who many Celtics fans are getting to know here. We obviously here at CLNS Media cover the Celtics night in, night out. And Nicole, on our Celtics postgame show that we do called The Garn Report, we obviously found out that Luke Cornette was traded to the Celtics. I don't think a ton of us knew all that much about him, you know, between the Bulls and Knicks and other places that he's been so far in his young career. And immediately when I saw him, I was impressed. I just thought this guy brings a different approach to the game, something that the Celtics obviously need inside where they've had some injuries and stuff going on. So I want to bring you on and get to know him a little bit, but, you know, we'll get to know you as well here, former UCLA basketball player, Oklahoma basketball player, and a big basketball family, you know, with you guys coming from Texas and Nashville and some of the other places that you've lived. So let's start with you this last year. What's been going on in the COVID world?
Yes. So I live in LA. Like you mentioned, we moved around all the time when we were younger. We were born and raised in Lexington, Kentucky. That's where my dad's family's from. And after my dad finished playing, my mom joined the TV industry. And so she's a news anchor. And then we had to move when we were young. I think at like age six, we moved to Arizona. And then from Arizona, we went to Texas, like the high school years. And then from Texas, I went to OU, Luke went to Vandy, other brother went to Arkansas. Like, we were all over the place. Now my family's back in Nashville, where Luke and my parents both went to Vandy. So we moved around a whole bunch, but I think that's kind of like our secret sauce in a way. It's what made our family so close, because we just always had each other. And like, my older brother had to go to four different high schools. Like, it was insane. But I mean, it made us all super close, just playing basketball out in the driveway every day. And that's, I don't know, that's what kept us together. And yeah, I love my family. As you can tell from my crazy Twitter, I've really become into like a Luke Cornette stan account. It's embarrassing.
It reminds me, so back when Al Horford played for the Celtics, his sister was a very similar way. She was interacting with Celtics Twitter like crazy. I'm sure you've gotten to know the wild fans and just the media lore. I mean, even in the last 2 weeks, I mean, you have Danny Ainge nicknaming him Big Bird. You have Green Cornette becoming a thing. Like, this is if he's going to be sticking around with the Celtics, this is what you have to get used to. And I'm sure you've already.
That's what I love about it already. Like, the fan base is awesome. I mean, obviously, Luke started in New York, of all places, where, you know, it's a crazy fan base. But and they really loved him there, too, in Garden number one. But like, I'm loving Boston. I love your Horford jersey. My dad actually was, I think, roommates with Tito. Like, I don't know which team or, but he's friends with him. So he used to text Tito back and forth when Luke was on the Knicks and just talking about like each other's sons and whatnot. So I love that Luke's on the Celtics now. Like, they're a great family. I never got to meet the sister though. So maybe, fingers crossed, one day, who knows?
Down the line. I know she's over in Europe now, I think, running out the pandemic. She does a podcast with us as well. Maybe we'll get you a podcast one day. That could be a possibility. So you mentioned your dad, Frank, NBA player. That's not something I knew, as I got to know Luke a little bit, that Frank, his dad, played in the NBA for two seasons, went to Italy for a couple different years around the time you were born. What was that like growing up with at the time you were born, he was a former NBA player, but he was still trying to, you know, at that time, keep his career alive, it seemed like.
Yeah, I mean, I credit my dad for like all of our athletic ability. Obviously, we got so much of his height. My mom's 5'7". She was the singer dancer in the group. And my dad, I mean, he like, I feel bad for him. I mean, he talks a lot. Like, he had a big regret from, I mean, he was drafted, I think it was the first pick of the second round. And, like, he was good. And he went straight to Milwaukee back in the 80s when Milwaukee was very good.
For sure,
and
yeah.
He's just a classic, typical rookie where, like, you're not playing much. And he just was a stubborn, hard-headed guy and was really upset with that. And when he played, he did really well. But he got so upset in a way that his agent called him and they're saying that Italy was offering him like a bigger contract. He'd be guaranteed minutes. He like, they just convinced him to buy his contract out and go to Europe. And my dad's just like, that was the biggest regret of my life. I like, you want the NBA. That's your dream as a kid, is to be in the NBA. Like, everyone in Europe's wanting to be in the NBA. And so he went over there and just had a hard time overseas and then played for a few seasons or just one even, I'm not sure. Came back and then was in camp with the Pacers. And it was when Reggie was there. And he's like, Nicole, Reggie was passing me the ball. Like, I was. And he unfortunately was the very last cut because it's just hard, you know, to break your way back into the league. So, what's awesome though is like, it's taught Luke a lot, you know? It's just like, if you're in the NBA, like you stay there and you do your best. And what I love about Luke too, unlike my dad, I think my dad was more of the arrogant type and like was about numbers. Love you, Dad, if you're listening. But, Luke is just such a team guy. Like, it's never about himself. Like, he truly, he'll be out there blocking out. The ball will like fall like right in front of him. I'm like, Luke, grab the rebound. But he's like, no, my teammate can get it. Like, I'm just here to block out. Like, he's just always about doing the right thing. And he just wants to win. I mean, like, he doesn't care how much he scores or whatever. Like, he just loves defense and wants to protect the paint and do what he's told. And, like, he's been that way his whole life. So me and my dad were more like the stat stuffers. We kind of like the numbers. But Luke, I mean, he's just a team guy.
We only talked to Luke once this year in the press conference there. It was after that first game where he hit a couple threes, helped push that comeback against Oklahoma City. I think that was his second game here in mm-hmm. Boston. And I remember they were asking him about how he fit in so well right away. And he just seemed to hit it off with Brad Stevens, the coach there, in immediate fashion, because that's Brad's thing too. You know your role, do it really well. And immediately in that game, whether it was like the pick and pop threes, rolls to the basket, protecting the rim, as you said, he was just able to find an immediate way to impact that game. And I remember him saying as well, he had a drive from Chicago to Milwaukee to meet up with the team.
Oh yeah. That's again, very typical Luke. Like, Luke is just the most like humble, down to earth. He's not about flash, as you can tell with his big old black shoes and white sock. Like, he has no fashion sense. Like, I was the one always like, Luke, come on, you got to pick it up here. But he doesn't care. He's so minimalistic. And yeah, just this humble guy who will, you know, drive his car till it breaks down, never wants to get anything new. Like, he's just like a good old fashioned dude. And yeah, he did. He drove his little Toyota Camry all the way to Milwaukee.
That's incredible. How's he fit in a Camry?
Oh, he doesn't. I mean, his knees are jammed up. Our family, we're used to that though. My dad's 6'9", other brother 6'9", I'm 6'1". Like, planes, trains, and automobiles, we do not fit well. But like, still, we're always on the move. So you just kind of grin and bear it.
You got to get this guy a truck. So you said you were trying to get his fashion game up. He wasn't responsive to it.
He's actually gotten much better. Like, I was seeing some of his like pregame pictures. I'm like, Luke, I am proud of you. Like, his cute little jeans that are fit now, like fitted. And I mean, yeah, he's just like a team sweats kind of guy. Like, never been into anything crazy. Like, again, he hates spending money. So, but he does look good. Like, I am proud of his evolution. For some, it may, you know, seem like not much, but for us who truly know him, it's like, Luke, you're doing all right.
So we're talking here with Nicole Cornett, the second of the three Cornetts. You mentioned your older brother, John, who went and played in Arkansas college basketball. All three of you had basketball careers. You played at Oklahoma, UCLA. Luke went to Vanderbilt, just as your dad did. And as you said, Tracy, your mom, is a newscaster out there. So a very tight-knit family. So if you were going to describe, you mentioned your dad, your older brother, and then your younger brother in the NBA. We've all seen how Luke plays. What was your playing style? What was your dad's playing style? And what was your older brother's playing style?
Yeah, so I'm a shooter through and through. Like I love to shoot the three ball, but I am taller. So as a wing, I mean, I could post up the smaller guards. So that's always been fun. And growing up, my uncle, he played in Canisius in Buffalo, and he's a lefty. So he'd always have us work on like our left-handed hooks, and we'd have chairs set up and do these like post moves when we were younger. It's like Camp Cornette. And my older brother is more of like a traditional post. He's just a big bodied, like 6'9" guy who will post you up and like he'll step out and shoot a three. He's nice touch. But Luke's definitely, it's funny. Luke's story is hilarious. I guess I'm here, so I'll just talk about him. He was always a wing growing up. I know this sounds crazy, but he was short, like in high school at like 6'7", 6'8",
This is
say
incredible. I read
his
about this.
his like senior year. But he was always just skinny little beanpole kid who developed late, and he had zero offers. He had zero recruitment. He was just like, honestly, he was kind of known as like Nicole's little brother, because I was the one who was getting recruited, and like I got my first offer from Kansas in 8th grade. Like I was a highly touted pick or recruit, and Luke was just always happy to go to my games, watch, like be there. Like he loved basketball. He'd come home every day at 3 p.m., go watch PTI, like turn on SportsCenter, knew every stat. He was that kind of guy, like, very smart, brainiac guy. I just wanted to watch my Nickelodeon, like Ned's Declassified, but Luke, no, I gotta turn on SportsCenter. And he just like was just kind of always there and played really well. He was a great shooter, but not until like his senior year was like I don't think he still wasn't the best player his senior year in high school. And they didn't even have any other D1 guys, but he was a good player, always smart, and would knock down the three. And then I think I was already at Oklahoma at the time. My AAU coach just called my dad up one day. He's like, "Hey, where's Luke going to school?" And he's like, "I don't know. I think he may just go to SMU in Dallas. He got an academic scholarship. He's saying he may want to like help out with the basketball team, maybe be a team manager. He just loves the game, wants to be around it." And my coach just like not having it. He's like, "No way. This kid's 6'8" and can shoot. Like, there's got to be someone. Like, I've got a tournament we can play for unsigned seniors. It's next weekend. Like, tell Luke to just show up." So Luke goes, and there are no scouts there. It's just like random writers and reporters, just some random people. He goes off, like plays very well. And I think Miles Turner might have been on this team. Like there were some good guys there, and there was some buzz, and Luke just played very well. And then my coach is like, "Okay, there's a tournament next week, and there's real scouts." Everyone was like contacting these people. Gym was packed for Luke's game. He goes off again. The next day, my dad calls me and he's like, "Nicole, my phone has rung off the hook. Like, Luke just got offers from Purdue, Kansas State, Vandy, Arizona." Like, it was wild. So I was at OU in my dorm room, not believing what I was hearing. I'm like, "Luke, my Luke? Like, he has offers, like scholarships? Like, he's playing college basketball?" And then graduation was like that next week. And then he was at Vandy. Like, it was wild, like, just wild. And then at Vanderbilt, his freshman year, he was supposed to redshirt. He still looked like this little baby boy, but probably was like 6'9", 6'10" now, his freshman year. And they had injury problems. So they're like, "Luke, we're not going to redshirt you. You're going to play." And then he was just this fun guy, like coming off the bench, who just knocked down some threes and then learned to play defense. And year after year, just got better and better. Come his senior year, it's like this guy has like draft, is a draft pick, like could be a late draft pick. And so it was just, it's been like the most exciting journey as a sister, seeing him just grow up and develop and become this man. And he's always been smart and just does what he's told. So it's been really like such a blessing.
Well, when you're 7'1", 7'2", and this is the thing, like I've covered basketball for a while, and you see guys have those growth spurts, say, 6'6", 6'9". I mean, for him, they get up to what is it now, 7'1", 7'2"?
Yeah, he's
Just
like,
crazy that late in the game.
I know. And he's always been like, because he was kind of like a Kyle Korver, I feel like, in high school, like was just a knockdown shooter. And then you just stretch, and it's like now he's 7'2" and can do that. And he like in at Vandy, he's been, he has great post moves too, and he moves really well for being 7'2". And it's just like, wow, like this guy has a chance. And so it's been exciting just to see that evolution.
So I believe he has the most threes for a 7-footer in college history. Just a lot of milestones that he was able to pull off there at Vanderbilt. What was his time there like? What kind of things did he study? What kind of things is he into off the court as well?
So Luke is he's a very smart guy. He was actually like my math tutor as the older sister growing up. Like, he was in a better math class than I was. And he got like a perfect score on his ACT for the math portion, like all from freshman year to senior year. He got a perfect 100 in math. Like, never.
That's how you get to Vanderbilt. Yeah.
Yeah. He was a double major in mathematics and computer science. So he graduated like with computer science. And I mean, he's just always been like a very smart and with it dude. But loves sports. And I mean, what else is he into? Like, that's a tough question. It's been a while since I've been like in his day to day, but I mean, we've just always, love sports. We'll hang out. He'll play his Catan, his board games, or I don't even know. Like, we just love being outside.
It's a perfect fit.
Frisbee, anything. Yeah.
Grant Williams is a big Catan guy too. So I'm sure. And this year is tough, cause I feel like there isn't a whole lot of team bonding. You know, they got two separate locker rooms and you always just run into the next test and this and that. So I don't even know how much those guys have gotten to know him at this point, but if you mention Catan, that's Grant Williams thing. They're going to bond over that.
He's talking about his teammates and he really is loving Boston and he loves the guys. Like, Marcus Smart, actually, we grew up like 10 minutes from each other. He went to Marcus High School and we were at Liberty. So we'd go to LA Fitness, and Marcus and Phil Forte, they're both Oklahoma State guys. Like, we'd run into them in the gym all the time. So it's even fun to see Marcus out there, and he's always just done so well. And he was that exact player in high school. Luke's just loving, he's loving Boston and loves the guys.
So when he was coming out of college, he had those degrees. Obviously, he was still trying to push that career. How likely was it that he was going to get an NBA opportunity? I know he went to the Summer League, did his thing there, got one of those two-way contracts, which is just great because a lot of guys like that, I mean, they'd probably be going to Europe or G League or some of these other places, but when they put those two-year contracts in, I think that was the first year that they had those when he was coming out of Vanderbilt.
He was able
to get a chance.
Yeah, he was the very first two-way contract signed ever. Like,
he was
the first one. So we were expecting him to get drafted. He was supposed to be like late second round, and Boston actually had a pick at like 56. It's when they drafted Jabari Bird. And Luke and he had a workout at Boston. He probably had 15 NBA workouts. Like, he was everywhere, and like, we were kind of excited for him, but then of course he didn't get drafted, and like the Knicks, the Cavs, like when LeBron was still in Cleveland, and a few other teams reached out, and like immediately right after the draft, and his agent was like trying to file phone calls, and New York, they had the best offer. Like, it wasn't just a training camp offer, it was a two-way right from the gate. And so Luke accepted, and then he was there half like in Westchester in New York and just did really well. Like, he played his max 20 games or whatever it was as a two-way guy and just did well. And then he earned his second contract, and that's what he does. Like, yeah, I feel like people don't really expect much, but that's because they don't know much or haven't seen him. And then he goes out there and just performs well. So it's been an exciting journey. Like, New York was a bunch of fun. Chicago, he's played with some cool franchises. So like, it's been a neat thing.
And that's a perfect one right away, because the Knicks weren't that great back then. He was able to get some of that opportunity.
Yeah.
Going from Texas, I'm sure, to Nashville, to New York City had to be a jump, though.
Oh, yeah. Luke, that was the funniest thing. When it was the night of the draft, we actually we hosted a draft party. It ended sadly, but we all put our teams like on a piece of paper and put them in a bowl, like to see like, oh, which team's Luke going. I picked New York. I was the only one who picked the Knicks. And I picked them, I think, because New York has always been my favorite city. And my mom and I, growing up, we went to New York every summer. And it was just like our girls' trip thing. And Luke did do well in camp, he said, in New York. And this draft workout. And I just had this gut feeling. And also, Luke, like, hated the city of New York. Like, he came, I think, at one time for one of our mom's, our girls' trips, and he's just like, I'm just not a big city person. Like, it's too loud, too much traffic. Like, he just liked little old Lexington, Kentucky. Like, he was a small town guy. And then he gets signed by them, and he ended up loving New York, and he's just completely changed his frame of mind. Like, he's such a city guy now, it cracks me up. So that was definitely another funny thing that surprised me. But I'm like, look at Luke living a New York City life, and now Boston. So it's been great.
Chicago, it's a complete flip from exactly what he was used to. And he was able to make an impact right away. Double-double in his debut, 4 blocks. Yeah. That was the first time that ever happened. Everywhere he goes, it seems like. You described that camp that he went to, and then showing up in New York and then signing with Chicago. It feels like, and now Boston, every team that he's gone to, people are just like, who is this guy? And then they see him play and they're just like, all right, this guy can do some things.
I know. I feel like he surprises a bunch of people because I don't know if like they size him up by just looking at him, or he has his nerdy socks on or whatever, but it's like, no, this guy, like, that's what I love about Luke. And that's what I feel like fans can love about him, is just, he just wants to get in and win and like do the best he can and contribute to the team. And yeah, like you said earlier, that's why he loves Brad Stevens. He's like, he's just been like the coach I've been the most comfortable with ever. Like, I feel like they're very similar in the way they think. And Brad is just matter of fact. He's like, all right, the team runs through like Jalen, Jason, Marcus, Kimba. Like, those guys, the guys need to score the ball. Like, give them the, and Luke's like, all right, I'm going to do that. And just, you know, like, he's very matter of fact and he loves that. And so I think that's kind of like a reason why they really work. And I'm excited for the Celtics. Of course, you never know what the future holds, but he's always admired Boston in the way that they run their organization. And so I hope things work out, but you never know.
For sure. So that trade deadline day was interesting. Everyone was talking about all the different people Boston might get. They obviously had a lot of centers at that time. Mm-hmm. And that was something Brad was talking about all year. You know, we got Tice, we got Robert Williams, we got Tristan Thompson, all these different people. And we have to find a way to play all these guys. So it always looked like all year that there was going to be the possibility that one of those guys might end up getting shipped out. And it ended up being Tice. That was a tough one for a lot of us to swallow, because he came over here from Germany and was just a fantastic player, helped them make the Eastern Conference Finals, ended up getting Mo Wagner back, Lou Cornett comes over, and people were just like, Tice, it's tough to see him go. But right away, as we talked about earlier, he was able to come in and make that impact, hit some threes, block some shots. And what struck out to me immediately about him is how well he moves at his size. I just think that's so impressive, as you've talked about, screen setter. His game's just kind of unique to me. Like, and then, Taco Fall poured the water on him after. So, I mean, it's just been a nice transition so far. He's gotten a lot of opportunity and he's made the most of it. You know, he had a 4-block game. I think it's 14 blocks now in 12 games with the Celtics. So it's just been a nice fit overall.
Yeah. I mean, that's what he loves. And He loves guarding the pick and roll, like in a drop defense. I mean, like he loves being that guy. And I think a lot of people can look at him like before they know him, be like, oh, this guy's gonna struggle with it. It's like, no, that's like Luke's bread and butter. Like, he loves this and he loves
it. It's incredible. How do you think, like, he just seems so ready for this level, which is amazing to me. What do you think that why do you think that is?
I don't know. I feel like he just understands the game and knows what he needs to do and what it takes to succeed at this level. And he's like, I need to learn, like, defense is number one, and being able to guard the pick and roll, obviously, since that happens so frequently. And like, yeah, you got to knock down your shots. Like, what's the beauty with Luke is I love when he does get subbed in and like the game just feels like it changes, where he'll bring the defense out because he is long and stretches them. And like Jalen can just go off a screen hard or Jason. Like, it's just, it feels, I don't know, it feels good to me. Maybe I'm biased because I'm a sister, but it's just like, it's just a different pace and a different type of game that Luke, I feel like, kind of is the reason why it's impacted in that regard. I don't know. He just knows what to do and he's always in the right spot. And like, he is that type of leader where like he's vocal and will help you out. And he just wants his team to succeed.
For sure. What's the transition of Boston been like for him this year, especially with the pandemic going on and that's always tough in general, moving midseason. But I think this is the most players ever moved at a trade deadline, which of course, like, this year where it's going to be harder than ever for people to move, everybody's going to get traded. Was it tough?
It was wild. He was not expecting it. He had actually like received a call from one of his the GM at Chicago was like, I think we're keeping you, Luke. It's going to be this way.
It was late. Yeah, it was very late.
Like, boom. It chain, you know, because you never know. And he was just like, whoa, like, that's crazy. And he had just given, his wife had just given birth to his first daughter, a first girl. So she was like a week or two old. Like, it was, a lot was happening in Luke's life already. And then you get traded. And then you have to immediately drive to Milwaukee the next day while his wife is like trying to cancel bills and certain thing. Like, all right, we're moving. But the baby was so young too that she couldn't like fly yet. So Luke's wife and the baby drove back to Nashville. It's where my parents are. And she's like, all right, we're staying here. And Luke has to go back to Boston. And luckily the team puts you up for like a month or two to kind of like have you figure things out. And so it's hard right now, I feel, for Luke, because he's by himself. Like, his wife and newborn are back in Nashville while he's by himself in Boston. But again, he loves basketball so much, and he loves Boston. So it's been like as easy as it can be, I guess, of a transition.
Yeah.
But it's definitely like a lot hits you in the face real fast.
You got to see one of his games out there in LA, though. And that actually was one of his stronger games so far, against the Lakers there. Won pretty handily in that game back when they were playing well a week or two ago. What was that like? I saw you got decent seats there.
Oh,
got
to wave to him. That was a blast. I love when Luke comes to like the West Coast trips. It's my favorite. And yeah, he actually has played well against the Lakers each time he's come to Staples. And it was fun with the less capacity too, just because you could hear everything. And I feel like Luke, I mean, he knew where I was and my friend was. So like, he's funny. He'll just give little waves and little secret signs all game. And yeah, and he played well, and everyone at Staples was so mad. So it was great. Like, we were the one, you know, Boston fan there, and it was so much fun. So I enjoyed that one.
One of the things I saw on your page as well was him doing some karaoke and a nice, nice Southern, like, I don't even know how to describe it, but just a strong, almost
like Nickelback in that song too. Yeah,
a nice country voice, I'd say. Like, he would do well with some country, I feel like. And you said your mom's the singing type. I think he got a little of it.
No, Luke, my brothers are actually very like musically inclined. I guess that's another hop. Like, they both can play the piano well, guitar. They'll harmonize off one another. Like, they really have the gift in that area. I don't. I'll sing still. It doesn't, you know, deter me from doing it, but I'm not good. But yeah, Luke's funny. He's just a funny, like, goofy guy, and will say anything and say his quirky words. That's like my whole family, though. We'll just, I don't know, like, instead of bad words, we'll try to be more wholesome and like, oh, fiddlesticks. Like, that's just us. we're just nerds.
It's great. You can follow Nicole on Instagram, Twitter, all those different places. Your Twitter is NIC. Or N.I. Corn, right?
It's Nick Corn. It's like half Nicole and Cornette, just halfway. So N-I-C-K-O-R-N one, I think. I think that's it. Nick Corn one.
I think it's interesting that, too. So you were someone who transferred when you were in college, Oklahoma to UCLA, in your final season. You had to do that sit-out year. Now in college, anybody can transfer, which I think is just this great thing for the sport.
Yeah, it's wild though too now. I feel like it's transfer portal galore. And I like when
I want to ask you about it, because, you know, some people hate it. Some people think finally, because I know that year was probably tough for you, where you had to sit out.
I mean, it was, I really loved my transfer experience. I feel like I was one of the few though. Like, there weren't really many transfers then. And it was a big shock at OU because I was a captain. I played, there wasn't anything wrong necessarily, but it all started back in my recruiting process. It was between Stanford and Oklahoma, and I just loved OU's coaching staff. Like, their girls were awesome. Whitney Hand, who played there, she went to my high school. Like, I knew her and her family really well. They were number three in the nation at the time. Like, they were good. But then, like, there's Stanford, and Stanford's always great. And I was obsessed with California, and it was the first time I walked on campus somewhere, and I was like, this is it. Like, I belong here. But Stanford was the one school you had to get into. And I mean, you had like, but I didn't care. I was like, I'm going to do it. So they said, you're going to have to retake ACTs, SATs. I'm going to be in tutoring every Tuesday, Thursday. I have to be all AP. I was already AP, but like, senior schedule is normally pretty easy. It was my hardest year of high school. But I just didn't want to live with that regret of not going to like my dream school. So a week before signing day, Tara Vanderveer calls me, and she said, like, Nicole, I'm sorry that you didn't get in. And it was a dagger. She's like, I ran to admissions and I'm begging them, but like, we just don't get any pull. And my neighbor at the time, he was getting recruited by Stanford for football. And we were both, it was like going to be our tag team thing. We were both going to go to Stanford. And he ended up accepting a full ride scholarship and got in, but he went to like a big public school and was valedictorian. And we went to a really small, like rigorous Christian school. And yeah, like we both were always the same growing up, same kind of grades all through middle school, and just went to different high schools. And then like he gets in and I didn't. And it was hard, tough pill to swallow, but I still loved OU. And I ended up going in, and like it was such a fun sports school. Like we were all so tight knit, like our football guys. I mean, it was when like, who was our quarterback? It was Landry Jones and then Trevor Knight and then Baker, obviously. And like, we were all good friends, and football supported volleyball, supported soccer. Like we
big sports like, school.
So
yeah.
Close. Yeah. And then, but still like there was something in my heart of hearts where I just like, I knew I kind of always wanted Stanford, and it was eating at me like, oh, I don't really want to be a Norman. I want to be like, I just wanted the like glitz and the glam or like the prestige of something. And so I decided like my senior year, I'm like, I don't want to live with this regret and I'm going to go. And it was like, everyone was shocked. And except for like my parents, the people who really knew me well, and I ended up transferring. And when you transfer, like if you didn't get into Stanford, like you still can't go. So I knew that was kind of like off the table, but that's when UCLA came knocking, and I never looked at any other California school. And again, I stepped foot on that campus and it blew me away. I'm like, wow. Like I always thought LA is some like concrete jungle, but it's gorgeous. Like the school, the facilities, the people were amazing. It was like an all Christian coaching staff, which meant a lot to me. Like it was so neat. And I'm like, UCLA is the cooler Stanford in my opinion. So I really like, I loved it. And I mean, I credit so much to UCLA, and even my career now, I feel like it's all because of UCLA.
And the Final Four this March. Incredible.
Honestly, you should don't tell anyone as I blurted on a podcast, but I didn't even pick them to win the play-in game. And I'm like, oh, Final Four, let's go.
Neither did I. I thought this team, they just got nailed in the play-in. So I went to Syracuse, and Syracuse was kind of in that area of the play-in as well. And I was actually expecting them to end up there. And then they didn't. And I saw UCLA and Michigan State in there. And I was just like, oh, Syracuse got lucky. Yeah. I wouldn't want anything to do with that.
I know. And I was expecting, like, I had watched Gonzaga a few times. I'm like, they're going to win it all. And then I expect them to, like, wax UCLA. But then UCLA still, I'm like, gosh, they should have won.
They had hard games every round. I kept picking against them. I was like, you know, I love their power forward there with the mustache. I can't think of his name. You know, they got that great guard. They just kept getting it done. And every round, I was just so shocked to see them keep going. And then, of course, the final upset to get into the Final Four there. That was just an amazing run.
It was fun. Yeah, I was not expecting it. And, like, kudos to Mick Cronin and all their guys. Like, I mean, I was there, I think, right when he came, I was leaving. And he, I don't know, he's just, turned the program around. And, like, I don't know, good Cincinnati dude, like, hardcore, loves defense. So, yeah, kudos. Congrats, UCLA. 8 o'clock.
She is Nicole Cornett. Helped us get to know Luke and the Cornettes a little better here. And hopefully we'll have a long time to get to know them in years to come here. I would think that would be a great thing for the Celtics. And I think, you know, you guys would enjoy it well here. So appreciate you. People, stay up to date with her. We can talk about the games on Twitter. I'm sure you're going to be tweeting as the playoffs come. There's just 9 games till the playoffs, which is going to be fun here coming up. So appreciate you being here on Dome Theory, and we will talk to you soon.
Of course. Thank you so much.